It is now 11 o'clock. Do you know where your spirit is? You know, years ago, and I think they still do it, it never was much of an attraction for me, they used to advertise at certain establishments, happy hour. Remember that? Any of you remember happy hour in your BC days? This is our happy hour, amen. I said, this is our happy hour, or two as the case may be. Lynette, she has a way of decorating things, and she's really good at it. And she put a thing in the garage where we go in up the steps into our house. This is our happy place. Amen. So say this with me. This is my happy place. You know, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts 26, I think myself happy. Now, I know that's not necessarily the context that he was talking about, but I think you can actually think yourself happy. Can you think yourself sad? Well, then you can think yourself happy, right? One thing about emotions is they do change. But we're going to talk about some things today that will help you, even if your emotions sometimes, and I know none of you ever have had any challenges in this area, but even if you know somebody whose emotions sometimes get on a little bit of a roller coaster, or maybe you've had that even in your own life, you know, we need to learn to really think like God thinks. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We need to think like God thinks. We need to speak like God speaks. And we need to act like God acts. Because after all, aren't we God's kids? I said, aren't we God's kids? So in the book of Romans, I want to share this scripture with you. You've heard it many times and you've read it many times. But we're going to look at this in at least three different translations today. We're going to look in the King James and the Message and then also in the Mirror. And we have those scriptures that we'll be posting on the screen for you so you can follow along. First of all, Romans, the 12th chapter, and we'll read King James to begin with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Now, notice it didn't say have somebody else do it. Amen. Pastor, pray for me. Well, that's good. We'll, you know, we can pray for one another. But isn't it wonderful to know that we can actually have a personal relationship with God ourselves? One of the greatest things that you'll ever discover, and if you have not yet discovered it, is that God wants you to talk to Him. And He wants to talk to you. And people say, well, you know, you can't ever hear the voice of God. Well, certainly you can. I said, certainly you can. And you present. The Bible says you do it. You present your bodies, not somebody else. You do it as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye, now that's talking about this world's ways, this world's systems, but be ye transformed, say transformed, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But see, some people have read that incorrectly. But to think soberly according, now this is the way we're supposed to think, as God hath dealt to every man. Say every man. Every man. Say every man. Every man. I mean, you know that would include the ladies as well. And the children. God hath dealt to, we could say, to every person. Whenever you see the word man in the scripture, it's not talking about the male species. It's talking about humankind. According as God had dealt to every person, we could say, the measure of faith. Everybody say, the measure of faith. Now remember over there in the book of Mark chapter 11, where Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and they saw the thing dry up the next day. It didn't dry up immediately. But when Peter said, Master, the fig tree that you spoke to yesterday dried up from the roots. Remember what he said? Have faith in God. Some translations say have the God kind of faith. I want you to say that with me. We have the God kind of faith. Now, how does a God kind of faith operate? God kind of faith operates by saying what it wants. Amen. Saying what it desires. God saw darkness on the face of the earth, and He didn't curse the darkness. He didn't have an emergency council meeting in heaven with the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus and say, what are we going to do about the darkness? He spoke what He wanted. Faith speaks what it wants. Amen. Now, you know, some people say, well, you know, God never promised He'd supply our wants. Well, actually, He did. I said, actually, He did. He said in the scripture, and this is even Old Testament, this is Old Covenant terminology, but listen real carefully. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. John 15:7 said it this way. Jesus said it this way. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, watch this, you will ask what you will, or what you want. Huh? Am I preaching some strange doctrine here? Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, if you abide in me, and this morning we're going to be talking about being in Him in a brand new way. Let me just back up for a second and give you some review here. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the new birth. Say the new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you can't see the kingdom, nor can you enter the kingdom unless you're born again. Say born again. Now, that born again experience is being born of the womb or in the natural way and then being born of the Spirit. Born from here and born from above. The devil doesn't have a birth certificate, therefore he can't get born again. Amen. He's not created. He was not created in the God class. He can't get born again. There's some people out there, even the devil will get saved. No, I'm sorry. He and his cohorts are doomed forever. And you don't want to go where they're going. Amen. Because hell wasn't prepared for man anyhow. Matthew 26:41 is prepared for the devil and his angels. So now we need to understand something today. You're created in the God kind of person. You're the God class. So when you're born again, you're born from death unto life. Amen. From death, spiritual death, to spiritual life. Verily, verily, John 5:24, truly, truly, he that hears my words and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life. Didn't say he'd get it when he died. Said he has it. Somebody say he has it. Now, I wasn't real good in English, and you can tell by the way I speak. You know, you can take Vienna, you can take the boy out of Vienna, but you can't take Vienna out of the boy. And I try really hard to speak properly, but sometimes I get excited. And so, when you hear the word and believe on the word, you pass then, that very moment, the very moment that you receive Jesus, you pass from death unto life. Amen. Now, you can't unpass that way. You can't go back to spiritual death. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, that sounds like once saved, always saved. You got it. If you're really born again, listen to me for a second. If you really have a born again experience with Christ, why would you ever want to go back? Huh? Well, I knew so-and-so. He was a Christian, and look what he did. Well, how do you know he was a Christian? Well, he said he was. Well, I heard people lie before, too. And I've seen people that were deceived. You know, Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, I think it's verse 21, he said, there'll be people come to him in the last day, said, did we not cast out devils and do miracles in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Hello. That'll jerk the slack out of your rope, won't it? Let's get back to new birth. Amen. How many are glad you've been born again? Praise God. You already have eternal life. You don't get it when you die. I saw this thing on Facebook. Mom, and everything on Facebook's true, right? I saw this and I couldn't help but think of those of us who are above 55 or 60 or 65 or whatever. And don't be offended. I know you won't. This picture of an elderly lady, whatever that is, I'm still debating about what elderly means. But in the picture, you could tell this was a woman who was Social Security age and above. And she was passing through the doorway from this life to the next. Are you getting the picture? There was a doorway there. And she was reaching for the handle on the one side of the door. So she was leaving this realm and headed towards the other heavenly realm. Did you know there is a heavenly realm? And on the other side of the door was Jesus. In this Facebook meme. Now, when she went through the door, she was transformed back when she was a young, beautiful woman. Now, Brother Hagin said, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be 33. I like that. Because Jesus was 33, and as He is, so will we be. I don't know, but I know this. I know that there will be a new glorified body. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Now, you're born again. That's how everything starts. But we then talked about how it's so important to understand the power of the Holy Spirit within and the power of the Holy Spirit upon. The Spirit of God within us is to reproduce the character of Christ in us. It's where the fruit of the Spirit comes from in Galatians 5:22. So the Spirit within is to make you more like Jesus from the inside out. But the Spirit upon is what we call in our circles the anointing. And that's the power of God on human flesh doing what human flesh cannot do without it. That's the anointing that came upon Jesus that comes upon you as members of His body. How many know we're members of the body of Christ? So that same anointing that was on Jesus is on us. Amen. Now it was on Him without measure. It's on us by measure. There are different measures of anointing for different types of ministry offices. Of course, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and then all those Romans 12 gifts about governments and helps and so forth and so on. But there's an anointing on you to be a good husband. Thank you. That one really went over really big. All of you ladies should have been shouting right out of the room. I said there's an anointing on you to be a good husband. I'm going to try that one more time. There's an anointing to be on you to be a good husband. Yeah. And a good wife. Yeah. And father. Yeah. And mother. Yeah. And grandpa. Yeah. And grandma. I'm married to a grandma. Hard to believe. There's an anointing on us. Amen. And that's for our service for the Lord, how we serve God. Then last week we talked about how our heart needs to be established. Because you see, a lot of people, they're not rooted and grounded in the fundamentals of faith. That's why the Lord spoke to me, I think, about getting back to the basics. I think one of the mistakes we make sometimes, Sister Donna in ministry and Sister Pastor, is we assume people know something they don't really know. Or maybe they've forgotten some things. Have you ever forgotten anything that God showed you? Well, certainly we have. So we need to be reminded from time to time about some of the fundamentals. So last week, just for those of you that may not have been here, you may have missed it. We need to be established in righteousness. You're as righteous right now in your spirit as you are ever going to be. You're not going to be any more righteous when you get to heaven, because when you receive Christ, you not only receive forgiveness, you receive His righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he is, she is, they are what? Brand new creatures. And the Greek word is a species that didn't previously exist. And so you're a new creature in Christ. And the Bible said all things have passed away and all things have become new. Now watch this. For He hath made Him, verse 21, for He hath made Christ to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you a question I've asked you before. Was He made sin? Was He made sin for us? Then were we made righteous? Absolutely. The same Greek words, the same Greek phrase that says He was made sin is used exactly to describe that we were made righteous. And the Greek language is beautiful, and it says what it means and means what it says. That's why I believe God chose for it to be written primarily in Greek. Such a beautiful language, so many depths of meaning. So if He was made sin for us on that cross, then when we received Him, were we not made righteous in Him? Amen. Now, is our righteousness in what we do? No. It's in what we believe. It's not what we've done, it's what He did. And listen, He's already done it. The Word of God in Romans chapter 10 says, what saith it? The Word is near thee, nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. You don't have to bring Christ down from the heavens. You don't have to bring Him back up from the dead. All you have to do is believe in your heart and say with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, let me just take a side journey for a second. Two things I want to talk to you about real quickly before we get into this part of the message. And the message this morning, if you like titles, is Renewing the Mind. Say that with me, Renewing the Mind. Today is June 23rd. You knew that, right? Tuesday is June 25th. June 25th, 1968. 51 years ago. That was a Tuesday night as well. Now, on that Saturday before that, which would have been the 22nd, I went to my old famous stomping grounds, as we called it. I'm a Dorchester County boy. And so I didn't even know Salisbury existed till I got assigned to the state police barrack out here in 1965. But in 1967, after coming to Christ through the influence of another state trooper that I worked with, I broke up with the girl I was going with at the time. I took her to the same meeting I got born again. You know, thought maybe she'd get kicked by the same mule, but she didn't. And so after a while, I began to understand the power of not having fellowship, but being unequally yoked. I found out eggs had something to do with it. And so we kind of split, you know, and actually not kind of, we just split. And so there I was, you know, a young man, 21 years old, looking for a Christian girl. Well, you don't usually find them in bars. Which I've never been to a bar in my life, except for bar fights that I got called to. That's another story for another time. And so that Saturday night I went down to Cambridge, you know, and started to hang out with some of the old center boys I used to hang out with. And I just found out that oil and water just don't mix. You can't mix that anymore. And I didn't want to be a part of that scene anymore. And so I came home. And I got home about 10 o'clock. My mother said, "Are you sick?" I said, "No, I'm not sick." "Well, you never get home before midnight." I said, "Well, you know, just bored." And I never will forget this. So I went upstairs to lay down, to go to bed, and I prayed this prayer. Now, I don't recommend you praying a prayer like this one, but cut me some slack. I was 21. I'd only been born again for a little over a year, or about a year at this time. And so I went to the Lord, and I said, and again, I don't recommend you pray like this, even though you know some people who do. I said, "Lord, I'm so lonely." Which he already knew. See, a lot of people spend time praying, telling God something he already knows. So I did that, and I said, and then I said this, which was also a lie. "I've done everything you asked me to do." That's another lie. But see, God understands when you're a baby, but don't stay one. And so, you hang with me. You're going to get something out of this service today, I guarantee you. So I prayed. I said, "Lord, I really need to meet someone." Well, he knew I wasn't talking about another boyfriend. I was talking about a girlfriend. So that next morning, I walked into the Methodist Church in Vienna. He Hall salutes my hometown. I taught the high school Sunday school class, and on a good Sunday, I'd have two. This particular Sunday, I walked in and I remember seeing this bulletin board, and there was a flyer on the bulletin board that said, "Davis Family Singers from Salisbury, Maryland, be singing Tuesday night, June 25th at the Atlanta Church. Reverend Bob Wheatley be preaching." I remember looking at that and thinking, it might be the will of God for me to go to that meeting. Because, you see, I'd seen her on the Evangel Hour, and I wasn't sure who she was. Buster Bosman had wanted to introduce me to her. He didn't have her name right. He thought she was Annette instead of Lynette. And my mother wanted to introduce me to her. You know, they'd actually had something to eat at our house one time after they sang in Vienna, but I wouldn't go home because I wasn't saved and I didn't want to be around those crazy church folk. Didn't know my future wife was right there in my own home. And so I walked into that church that Tuesday night, and they were standing up on the platform rehearsing. Pastor Chamberlain's wife was playing piano for him at that time. And when I walked in, Sister Ruth got up off the piano bench, ran to the back, and she said, "I'm so glad to see you here tonight," because I'd been going there on Sunday nights a little bit, scared. Delmarva, you understand. I was going there, and those people were just weird. So I never hung around after the service was over, and this is why she came up. You all like my stories? I know Amy does. And so Sister Ruth said, "Now don't you leave before when this service is over. I want you to meet somebody." Well, I was hoping it was going to be her, you know. So she brought me up, introduced me to Lynette. She had the most beautiful green eyes I'd ever seen, almost as green as these chairs. What I didn't know, she's wearing colored contact lenses. Now, she still has beautiful green eyes, but back then, they were as green as my dad would say, green as poison. He couldn't say poison. He said poison. They were just as green as these chairs. And I was looking at her. I was just staring, you know. I was like, you know, that Bathsheba fox, it doesn't got my attention. You know what I'm saying? And she got tickled because I was staring at her. Well, she invited me to come and go with the young people that Friday night. They went out to the Ocean City passing out tracks, and I went. And after it was over, she said, "Would you like to come by the house for some iced tea?" And I told a little white lie. I said, "I don't really know where you live." I actually did. Buster and I I wasn't sure how to get there from where I was. So anyhow, that was a Friday night, and then Saturday night we had our first date. We had our first date that Saturday night, and we went to see The Parent Trap. Not the one recently, but the one with Haley Mills was in it. Well, she was too embarrassed to tell me she'd already seen it. So we went there. We went to the Oaks Drive-In, you know, and then we went to see The Parent Trap. And then Sunday, you know, I went to her church. And then that Sunday night after service was over, now I'm scheduled to go to the police academy the very next day. I've got to be there the very next morning, 8 o'clock, July the 1st. And so this was June the 30th. It was a Sunday night, just like it would be this year. And we're over to Bob Davis and Ruth Davis's house. We're having something to eat after church. And Bob says, "You're going to be a hard road trooper, are you?" I said, "Yes, sir." "You don't want to do that." I said, "What do you mean I don't want to do that?" "Nah, you don't want to do that. Call them, tell them you changed your mind." Well, both of my brothers were troopers. I wasn't about, after as hard as it was to get in, I wasn't about to do that. He tried to talk me out of it. So that began our romance 51 years ago, June 25th, 1968. This Tuesday night be 51 years. She looks pretty good for 51, doesn't she? Well, see, now the reason I bring that up is because even when you're young in the Lord knows your heart.
Yes.
And it's okay, even when you're young in the Lord, to pray things that really aren't all the best. But once you grow up, you need to start thinking different and praying different. And I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that I prayed that way back then. But cut me some slack. I was new. I was young in the Lord. But He heard my heart. And so I say that to you today. When you don't know what else to pray, just pray your heart.
Yes. Amen.
But listen to the message today, because the message today is going to help you. I said this Wednesday night, somebody said to me several years ago, they were in my office, they said, "Pastor, we need to pray hard about this." And I looked at them and I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And they said, "We need to pray hard." I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And they said, "Well, I said, you mean pray loud?" "Well, no." "You mean pray long?" "No." "Well, you mean beat and bang and..." "No." I said, "Well, what do you..." And he didn't have an answer. Finally, I said, "Well, what does the Scripture say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man." Now, let's break that down. What's effectual prayer? Prayer based on the Word. It's not begging. It's not crying. It's not complaining. Thank you for your enthusiasm. It's praying the Word of God concerning the situation. That's effectual. That's efficacious. How do you like that religious term? I'm educated. Amen. No, effectual is praying on the Word. Fervent means from the heart. It means heartfelt, from the spirit man. You see, if you're just going to pray from your own understanding, a lot of times you only get messed up. But if you allow your spirit man to begin to renew your mind. Now see, a lot of times we thought about the renewing of the mind starts here and drops to the spirit. It's just the other way around. The renewing of the mind starts here in the spirit man. And then the spirit man begins to renew the natural intellectual side of our lives. Are you following me so far? The effectual, fervent, heartfelt, spirit-led prayer of righteous people. In other words, when you go to the Lord, understand that you absolutely have a right to be there because of what Christ did. You're not coming in there trying to get God to do something that's not His will, or actually that He hasn't already done. See, in the Old Covenant, the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he had to go with blood, and there was a certain ritual that he had to perform, and he could only go in once a year. But now the veil in the temple that separated the holy place from the most holy place, that was ripped in two from top to bottom when Jesus died on the cross. The Holy Ghost was signifying that the way into God had now been made clear, and you and I are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Amen. Somebody say, what's the difference between grace and mercy? Grace is God doing for you what you don't deserve, and mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve.
Amen.
Amen. When you go before the judge, pray for mercy. Pray for mercy. Amen. One guy went before the judge one time and he's charged with going 100 mile an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. He said, what do you plead? He said, insanity. Did you find Romans 12 yet? We read it, did we not? But we read that in the King James Version. Listen to this in the Message translation. Chapter 12, verse 1, the Message. So here's what I want you to do, and this is key. God helping you. See, God helps you once you decide. Now, the decision to do what we're talking about today rests with us. Amen? Now, there's one thing I've found out. There's one thing I've decided about people. They don't like to decide. And a lot of times, where do you want to go eat? I don't care. Where do you want to go eat? Well, I don't care. Well, let's go to such and such. Well, I didn't want to go there. Makes you rattle your head when you hear something like that. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. The decision is ours, but here's how God helps us. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Get up every morning with the attitude that my life is a gift from God. What can I do with the gift God's given me to be a gift to someone else? I got another story I want to tell you here. And I want you to pray about this one. I want you to pray effectually about this. One of the troopers that I worked with and trained for a while, and he actually was assigned to ride with me for a whole year, I just found out recently that he's been diagnosed with throat cancer, and there's nothing they can do. He's just been basically turned over to the hospice care and so forth. Well, without going into great detail, this is a young man who, as a cadet, rode with the same trooper I rode with. After I left Buster Bosman, then this trooper rode with him as a cadet. So I know he's been witnessed to, and I've witnessed to it, and I've talked to him about the Lord. But so far, we've not been able to make any progress. But I don't want him to go to hell. He's a friend of mine. And what I heard originally was he didn't want any contact from anybody. His brother called me on the phone, who lives up in Massachusetts now, and said he really doesn't want to have any kind of contact with anybody. Well, I married them, actually, he and his wife. And so I'm asking God to give me wisdom to know how to somehow break through to him. He's kind of a hard guy in a way, and yet he's a super guy. He's a nice guy. So pray for me, will you? Yes. And him. His name is Gary. Pray for him. Pray for him that his eyes will be opened. Yes. My brother, sister, you don't want to go to hell. No. You don't want to end up there. There are no exits. And I plead with you today, if you don't know Jesus, make him your Lord and Savior. I know in a church this size, and I know just about everybody here, I'm sure most everybody here, if the rapture took place right now, we'd have a church full of empty seats and somebody just come get the chairs. But I don't want to presume anything. So make sure you're ready. Amen. So pray for Gary and pray for me that I'll have wisdom to know how to break through some way or another. I finally did get his phone number and his address where he lives. So when you get up in the morning, it's not just so you can have breakfast at Mickey D's. Amen. It's not just so you can go to work somewhere and put in a 9-to-5 and get a paycheck at the end of the week. Wherever God has strategically put you, be a blessing. Lay your life before the Lord as an offering. Not everybody's going to pastor churches. Not everybody's going to play music. But everybody has a part to play. And everybody's not going to be a missionary to some foreign land, but you can be a missionary to the person next door. Our neighbors here, everybody thinks this White House is ours. It isn't. But the fellow that owns a house across the street, he had a trucking business for many, many years, and so he and I knew each other pretty well because I was in the truck enforcement division for a large number of years, and so we knew each other quite a well. I've had his signature on the bottom line, press firmly, you're making 7 copies, many times. And this is his son that built the house here. We wanted to buy that piece of property and had a deal to buy it, and then he found out the last minute and contacted Mrs. Merritt, who owned it. You all don't care. But that's what happened. But here's the point I wanted to make. When they built the house there, You know, we could have got our noses out of joint. They're blocking the view of our church and all that. But I didn't. I didn't. You know what I did? I sent them a welcome to the neighborhood flower arrangement. You know, I just wanted to tell them that I'm glad they're here, you know. So the fella came up one day a year or two ago, and he said, Pastor, he said, I want to ask you a question. I said, what is it? He said, we're going to put a pool in back here. We're going to need to come across your driveway, and so your grass, is that going to be all right? I said, certainly it's going to be all right. No problem. Just cut it after you get done. No, I just, I didn't say that. Thought it, but didn't say it. And now we got neighbors next door that Dwayne was telling you about. And so the house is a rental property, see. And so, you know, I found beer cans in the ditch. You know, which I guess they think that our property is their own private garbage dump. Well, you know, I could go over there and knock on their door. But I don't do that. It's just God help them. They don't know. Just pick them up, throw them in the trash. But, you know, if I get a chance to say somebody, I'm going to say, hey, you know, we have a church right next door. I have a fellow that works on our yard for us. He referees high school ball with us. He lives right down the street. And Steve's a great guy, super guy. He was raised Roman Catholic. Y'all like my stories? He was raised Roman Catholic. He let me know he was an altar boy. Super nice guy. Do anything in the world for you, you know. He just needs Jesus, that's right. Whenever there's a situation, he'll say, Father. He talks to me, he calls me Father. Pray for me. So he sent me a text this morning. He said, I'm going to be spraying your yard today with the fertilizer to kill, you know, things and fertilize it and all that. No water for 24 hours, please. So I texted him back. I said, okay, thanks. See you in church. He's not yet responded. There's all kinds of ways you can be a witness. Take your everyday life and just lay it before the Lord and say, Lord, use me somehow today in your kingdom, in your ministry. Watch this. Place it before God as an offering. And I love this verse. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. See, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. He wants to use your life even more than you realize that you want to be used. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. See, this is how the renewing of the mind takes place. When you fix your attention, and I wanted to get to Colossians 3, but I say I'll never get there this morning because of time, but we'll see how we go from here. Fix your attention. Colossians 3 says it this way, so in case I don't get there. Set your affection. Set your heart and keep it set. Amen. Fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. Now, I also wanted to read some of this passage of Scripture out of the Mirror paraphrase. And we put it on the PowerPoint, Dwayne, several verses there. I put them on there this morning, so if you can follow along. Chapter 12, verse 1. Listen to this in the Mirror. Live consistent with who you really are. Now, let me delve into that for a moment. Marion, when he was here years ago, he had the men's group, and he did a little thing one Saturday morning when the men met, and he had everybody go around the table and tell everybody who we were. Well, I had to go to MVA this week to prove who I am. I got an email from the Motor Vehicle Administration that says you've got to come in and bring your birth certificate or a passport. You've got to come in and bring a W-2 or a Social Security card. Then you've got to come in and bring two proofs of address. Now, I've had a driver's license since I was 16. But now I've got to go in and prove who I am. Well, you see, here's the problem. Because there's been so much identity theft and because there's been so many false IDs produced, now the government, the federal government, because of 9/11, has decided that we've got to have something called real ID. Amen? George Johnson, Glenn Payne, Cathedral Quartet. Loved these guys. Sang with them many times. And George tells the joke on Glenn. Said Glenn one night was sitting there on the couch and watching TV, and his wife was baking a cake. And she said, Glenn, run down to the store and get a quart of milk. I don't have any milk. Well, Glenn jumped up off the couch and took off down towards, you know, the store and got the quart of milk. And on the way back, the highway patrol was making a safety check, routine check for license and registration. And so he got stopped in that routine check. And he'd forgot his wallet, left his billfold home. So the trooper looked at him and said, sir, do you have any ID? He said, about what? Can I ask you this morning, do you have any ID? About who you really are? Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. No, that's an oxymoron. And that's not a funny looking cow. You cannot be both. You're either saved or you're not. So you can't be an old sinner that got saved and still be an old sinner. I know it's a good song. Yay. I understand it, but it's not true.
Amen.
Build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. You'd be disappointed. Somebody don't even know that song. It was an old song years ago. Build me just a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. No, you wouldn't be happy with that.
No.
See, do you know who you really are? And Marion went around the room and somebody said, well, you know, I do this. Well, that's not who you are. What you do is not who you are. Are you here? Do you know who you really are? You're a child of the King. You're a born-again, Spirit-filled, hallelujah, living child of the King, part of the kingdom of God because of your new birth. Live consistent with who you really are. Now, there's a saying that says you cannot act consistently in a manner other than the way you see yourself. There is a eating disorder, you've heard of it, called anorexia nervosa. And people that have this eating disorder, they, no matter how thin they get, they still see themselves fat. And they can get super pencil thin to the point of death, but they still see themselves as fat. That's because their image has not changed. Too many Christian people are still living under the condemnation of the past, and everybody in this room has a past. And as I've said it many times, some of our past is more checkered than others. But regardless of what your past may have been, your past is past.
Amen.
Stuff that happened years and years and years ago, it's been forgiven.
Amen.
And even though some have not forgotten it, God has.
Amen.
Don't let it haunt you forever.
Amen.
I said, don't let it haunt you.
Amen.
I told you the story about getting stung by a bee when we were playing baseball in Carol Hurley's backyard. Amy knows Carol. And I still remember the bee sting. I mean, it stung me on my upper lip and my lips swelled all up, almost touched my nose. It was really painful. I still remember that. But it doesn't hurt anymore. Do you know who you really are? You're not just forgiven. You're restored. You're redeemed. You're a child of the King. Live consistent with that. My brothers, the most practical expression of worship is to make your bodies available to Him as a living sacrifice. This pleases Him more than any religious routine. He desires to find visible and individual expression in your person. Chapter 12, verse 2. Do not allow current religious tradition to mold you into its pattern of reasoning. Like an inspired artist, give attention to the detail of God's desire to find expression in you. Let me talk about John Mark for a minute. Sister Donna here can really relate to this. John Mark, her youngest son, only son, that's why he's the youngest, because he's the only one, her youngest child. No, that's right, Corey's younger. Help me with my stories, will you? Amy, would you help me out a little bit? Anyhow, one of her kids, Lori's brother, John Mark Woodson. I like the boy because his initials are the same as mine. Anyhow, good guy, great kid. Been here since I don't know when. Grew up in our church, you know, and And years ago, he would stand up on the platform and he would watch Dwayne or Jay, whoever was playing drums. He would watch them and try to imitate them. And then when Jeff was playing guitar, he would watch Jeff and all that. And Jeff gave him a guitar, I think, once and all that. And John just wanted so desperately. He had such intense desire to be a musician and to sing and to lead worship and to do what he had seen in the church. And he just, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that success in life, are you listening to me this morning? Success in life is 5% inspiration and 99% perspiration. And those of you in mathematics know that's 104%. 5% inspiration and the rest is perspiration. A lot of people are born with a lot of inherent, innate talents. But if you never desire to master that talent or master that craft, I tease Larry and Johnny and Ray about their cars. Their cars are so clean. You could eat breakfast off their hood. And I think Ray came up here one day in his car and I looked, I said, when are you going to wash that thing? And it was shining like a brand new penny. Well, when you have something like that, that God's blessed you with something, you take good care of it. God's given you a precious life. Take good care of it. And realize that God wants to find His ultimate expression in you. You see, this has got to become a mindset. When I first started trying to learn how to play the piano, traveling with the Davis family, I learned, first of all, to play the bass. And they needed a bass player, so I bought a bass guitar. I didn't have any money to buy it, but I bought it. And I didn't know how to play it, but I learned how to play it. God gave me a few lessons, taught me 3 or 4 chords. He said, now you can play. I said, I can. Well, see, John Mark was exactly the same way. He just started. He just got him a guitar and he just started playing and he started learning. And Donna? Hour after hour after hour after hour. Well, my boy is good at Super Mario. He's really good at video games. Yes, so was John. I don't know about Super Mario being a good resume thing to put on your resume. But, of course, these guys that fly these drones, that's where they learn, you know, video games. But anyhow. John Mark was a classic example of somebody who had such an extreme desire. See, I had that same desire. When I first got born again and got exposed to gospel music and the Davis family started traveling, man, I wanted to do that. Bobby Rich came through our church and played the piano and played the guitar and sang. And I remember thinking, man, if I could just someday do that. Well, you see, that's where it begins. Begin to see yourself successful. Begin to see yourself happy. Most of you know that back in October, I decided, my wife said to me, she wanted me to get in shape. I told her round was a shape. You've heard of round John Virgin? You've heard of him. And I referee high school ball. This would be my 35th year last year would have been. And so she said, if you're going to referee, you need to get in shape. I said, okay, I'm going to lose some weight. So I started in October of last year. And since October of last year up till now, I've lost close to 27 pounds. Now, I will say this. I've kind of tapered off a little bit. I turned the other day in the mirror and stuck my tongue out. I looked like a zipper. But but you see, what I did was I found a picture of when I was the size I want to be. And I put that picture on my phone. It's the wallpaper on my phone. It's me and Bailey when I was that size years ago. I think she was about 15 at the time. So it was 5 years ago. I got down that one other time like that. But now you see, once you get that goal, maintain it. Set goals and then set new goals and set realistic goals. I didn't say I'm going to lose 20 pounds in a week. I'm going to get out of debt overnight. Probably not. Unless you win the lotto. And if you win the lotto, make sure you tithe. But you see, we cannot live consistent with a way that we don't see ourselves. We have to see ourselves the way God sees us. Does that make sense to you? Give attention to the detail of God's desire to find expression in you. Become acquainted with perfection. Now, that's talking about His perfection in you. to accommodate yourself to the delight and good pleasure of Him. Now listen real carefully. Who will transform your thoughts afresh from within. See, the renewing of the mind starts here in the spirit man. For those of you listening by CD, I've got my hands on my spirit man. You feed this spirit man the Word of God. Then your mind will begin to change about who you are. You may have heard for years in church, you're just a dirty old sinner. You'll be lucky if God lets you in. But God's not trying to keep people out of heaven.
Amen.
God is not trying to send people to hell. God doesn't take people. I know you went to a funeral and somebody said, well, God needed another angel in the choir. What a lie. God's been accused of so many things He had no part in whatsoever. No. Change from the inside out. Fix your attention on God. Let the Word of God begin to shape the way you think. You catch yourself saying something. Well, something negative. I know none of you do. Lynette and some other people were talking recently about having a negative jar in the house. And I think Robert Morris talked about it too on one of his programs. He said, you know, anytime anybody would say anything negative, they had to put a quarter in the jar. Well, some people I know go broke in a heartbeat. Next time you catch yourself saying something inconsistent with what the Word says about you, repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I won't say that anymore. Well, I just can't stop. And you fill in the blank. You got a habit of some kind? I know none of you do. I know nobody in here. I understand everybody in here has got it all together. I get that. But there's a couple people you know. So this would be for them. If you got a habit you can't seem to break free from, stop saying, I can't break this habit. It only takes about 21 days to break a habit or to make a habit. So the next time, let's just say you light up. Uh-oh. There he goes. Someone asked me one time, said, Pastor, will smoking send you to hell? I said, no, it'll make you smell like you just came back. Listen, if smoking will send you to hell, so will two pieces of pie. Or being ugly to your neighbor. No, that's not the deal. Amen. People don't go to hell because of particular sin. They go to hell because they don't know Jesus. Amen. So the next time you have that thing come up, don't say, I can't break this habit. You know, it might be recreational shopping. One lady said, when I get mad, I go shopping. I know a guy one time, a thief, stole his wife's credit card. And he didn't report it for 60 days because the thief was spending less than she was. I'm telling you, that's bad, man, right there. That's not true. I just made it up. But just say, I'm redeemed from this. Instead of saying, I can't break this, and say, you know what? I'm redeemed from that. I can stop smoking. Instead of saying, oh, I guess this is my sin. Let me move on to something else here. My wife's getting nervous. His grace gift inspires me to say to you that your thinking must be consistent with everything that's within you according to the measure of faith that God has apportioned to every individual. Listen, let the revelation of redemption shape your thoughts. This is what it means to have a renewed mind. So instead of seeing yourself in the mirror, an ugly old sinner, see yourself in the mirror of God's Word as being exactly who He says you are. The saved, the delivered, the healed, the prosperous. Oh, Pastor, I'm so poor I can't pay attention. Instead of saying that, say, well, I'm a giver and I'm a tither. And no matter what it looked like right now, that's what Creflo said, no matter what it looked like. No matter what it looks like right now, the Word of God says, as I give, it's given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it'll come back into my life. Now, listen, Len and I have been doing this for all of our adult life. And for many, many years, we didn't see an abundance of harvest. Listen, I know what it's like to sit at the checkbook at the end of the month. Or actually, at the end of the money. The month is still going on. Somebody said, how much money am I going to have left at the end of the month? I wondered how much month would be left at the end of the money. And I know what it feels like to struggle financially. I know what it's like to... Listen, I know what it's like to hawk class rings. Lionel trains because you needed enough money to put gas in your car. I know what that's like. Some people think, well, you know, you're just born with a silver spoon in your mouth. I like find that spoon. Somebody said, well, you're just lucky. Yeah, the harder I work, the luckier I get. My dad taught me about work. He taught me about being responsible. And so for the longest time, that kind of hindered me to some extent because I felt like I had to be Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Jireh. I had to be my own supplier. Well, I found out I couldn't do as good a job at that as he could. And man, when I just finally released the care, that's the deal right there. You know, this is the whole issue. The other day we were coming across the highway there and co-pilot. She said, it's clear my way. As soon as it's clear your way, you can go. Well, I trust her. So I pulled on out. And thank God it was clear. But she would not tell me it wasn't clear unless it was clear. Yes, she's sitting on that side, exactly. I hope that's not the only reason, Brother George. This sermon didn't turn out the way I thought it would. That's all right. Some of you may have needed some of that joy Dwayne was talking about. But see, when we went across and nothing happened, I said, now that's faith. That's what faith is. Simple, childlike trust. God said it. That ought to be enough. If He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you, that ought to be enough. I don't think we ever have to pray, oh Lord, please be with us. I know you've never prayed that way, but you know somebody who has. Oh Lord, please be with us. When He already said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. My precious mother, she used to do that all the time. She would pray that around the table on Sundays. Now, Lord, we ask you to be with us and be with our loved ones and, you know, that couldn't be here with us today and be with us. You know, she would say that a lot. She's a precious, wonderful lady, my mother was. And one day, I said, Mom, could I say something to you? She said, sure. I said, now this was a long time ago because she's been in heaven since 1984. I said, Mom, we don't have to pray like that. What do you mean? I said, we don't have to ask God to be with us. He promised He'd never leave us. Amen. She said, you know what? You're right. Amen. And she never prayed that way again. She never prayed that way again. Are you listening to me this morning?
Yes. Amen.
Let the Word of God transform you from the inside out. Amen. Let it affect the way you think. Because the way you think is the way you'll speak. And your words are creative. So the words that are coming out of your mouth. You understand the words are coming out of my mouth. The word, that's from Rush Hour. The words that are coming out of our mouth are creating our world. So let the Lord renew your mind. Amen. Did you get anything out of this morning? Praise God. Amen. Give the Lord a shout if you did. Praise God.